welcome on the show, and yeah, I'm looking
Thank
forward
you very
to
much.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Yes.
So basically, you were the reason why I started these discussions, because obviously we worked on The Witcher season 2.
Yeah.
And I had never like come across someone that was coming in like in the middle of the day.
Oh, really?
So I was quite
intrigued.
Just
logging on for an hour.
Yeah, I was.
Who is this ghost?
Yeah,
logging on for an hour.
Yeah, because I think I had been on for like I had been working for a few days and you hadn't been in. And then for some reason you you messaged, and then I think I remember asking if you'd been away, and then you're like,
no, it's just not my working day. Yeah. Arthur's asleep and just doing a couple of hours, you know how it is.
Yeah. So you triggered the discussion because it was quite interesting.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, yeah, it'll be quite fun to understand and highlight the effects of motherhood on
well,
women.
I'm glad that I intrigued you, because I should imagine that most other people that work on my team that I haven't met because we're working from home probably think, who is this middle-aged woman just randomly saying hello in the middle of the day?
So to start it off, just if you're able to just tell us a bit about yourself and just what you do.
Well, I mean, it depends how far do you want me to go back. I mean, just talking about why I got into visual effects or why I even like visual effects.
We'll get to that, but just tell us your name and maybe your role.
Oh, okay.
Where you work, if you're happy to say.
Okay, well, my name is Rebecca Holdstock, and I'm currently a senior camera match mover / rotomation artist. And I currently work at Cinesite, but it's nice to mention them because I've worked there for a long, long time, off and on, since actually 2007. So wow. That's a long, long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So generally, I was going to ask, how long have you been in the industry? And yeah, how was your journey into the industry? So maybe if you can tell us a bit about your transition from maybe university, or if you
okay.
can, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, I went to university. So actually, initially, I wanted to be an animator. And I actually studied traditional hand-drawn animation at Southampton Solent. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, I took a while to get into that, actually, because I think some of your other guests have mentioned on their podcast that I started actually doing graphic design, because where I grew up, that you've got to think initially, you think, oh, what can I do as a job? Not actually, what is my passion?
Yeah.
And my passion has been, for a long, long time, actually stop motion animation. If you said to me, what was your dream job? I would have told you, I want to work at Aardman, Wallace and Gromit, stop motion, because... I'll go back a bit further, but I'll be really quick. I went to, when I was 15, and you have to do work experience. Mm-hmm. I was 15 in 1995, so work out how old I am. And back then, they didn't give you many options. And, you know, I don't really want to work in, you know, a shop or for work experience. You want to do something a bit more exciting. And I said, well, I want to be an animator. What do you want me to do? So they said, well, I guess you could approach a university and you could ask them. So it actually was organised by myself. I contacted Bournemouth, because that's where I'm from, university, the Arts Institute, and I said I'd really love to come in and to do some animation. Yeah. And to my amazement, they said yes, and I was so proud of myself, because actually that was sort of my first legacy, because I was the one that started actually students being allowed to go into universities. I was the first ever one, and back then the animators were painting on cells.
Right.
So they used to work in a group, and and they allowed me to paint on their cells. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me a little studio actually in some plasticine, and I spent a few days just animating, you know, using all their technology, which was obviously not a lot back then. Making my own little films and just having fun and meeting all the animators. And then at the very end, when their final films came out, they took me to London with them, and they actually into Leicester Square and to see all their films, and my name was in the credits. And so way back then, that sort of got that feeling inside me. Well, that was amazing. My name was in the credits in the cinema. I want that. Yeah. I want more of that.
Yeah.
And sort of forgot about it for a few years, because then obviously then you do your GCSEs and your A levels, and I went to art college, and you know, just anything creative, don't you? You know, just doing art, then graphic design. And then when I went to Southampton to do my graphic design, I thought, well, it's just not me. This is just, it's fun, but it's not really what I want to do. And I did a project where I had to design a magazine cover. Mm-hmm. And I actually went down to the animation department, and I spoke to Nick Phillips, who a long, long time ago was the head of animation in Southampton Solent. And I said, do you mind if I just interview some of your animators and my project's going to just be about animation. And he showed me around the studio, showed me his little stop motion corner, and I just thought, this is what I want to do. Why am I doing graphic design? and I was already in my year two of graphic design, and he said, well, actually, he gave me an interview. I showed him all my work. It was very sort of, I guess, informal, because it was not at the time when you would apply. And he said, well, I'm happy for you to come on the degree, but you have to start from year one. You can't go straight to year two, like on some degrees, because it's just too much to learn. And I said, fine, brilliant, I would love to. And that was 2002. And so I started my animation degree, traditional 2D animation, and they did just start to do 3D by my year two, because obviously the software was just becoming available. But to give you an idea how fast the industry has moved on, in 2003, I think it was, at the end of my first year, everything, all the walk cycles, all the bouncy balls, all the everything I had drawn to get me through year one, in order for my teachers to view it, I had to book a slot on a beta machine and put all my pieces of paper on the beta machine and then hand that tape into the teacher to get the and then but by year two, all you needed was a webcam and obviously my trusty light box and then you, as a PC, and all of a sudden you could colour it in, you could scan it with a scanner or use the webcam, and then there was some software, I can't remember what it's called now, and you could then colour it in, which is so just, it changed dramatically. So by 2005, when I graduated, I did a final film, which I'm still very proud of, and it had some 3D elements in it that my teacher helped me do. It was called Rapid Retreat. I got it into a few film festivals. Not many, but I tried. I was really pleased with myself. But then I thought, well, but I don't know where to go from here. It's, if you're doing 2D animation, as much as I love it, I think I contacted a few students, did a few bits and bobs of work for them for free, and thought, well, how am I going to get a job? I need some money. By then, I think I moved to Bristol very briefly with a friend who was living there, and thought, well, I could, there's lots of animation going on in Bristol, Aardman's there, my dream job. And my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, he lives where I live, so it was closer to London. So actually, all of a sudden, I hadn't even thought about London as an option, coming from Dorset, country girl. And somebody said to me, oh, well, I know someone who's been running it. I think someone said, oh, you can run it Framestore. Or there's all these companies I'd never even heard of. And I suddenly was just Googling visual effects companies. And it hadn't even occurred to me that that was an option or a career option. Yeah. So did you say you'd done something similar with your studying?
I do remember, because I took an animation course, and I do remember the first year was like, stop frame, but animation, drawing on paper and like scanning it on with the webcam. Bouncing ball and all of that.
But I mean, and I know you were only a runner briefly, but I was a runner for so basically I skipped ahead there. Applied to lots of companies for running positions, and I got a job running at Cinesite, hence why I'm still there. That's why I've got this link to Cinesite.
Was that your first?
My first running position was at Cinesite.
Oh, wow, interesting.
And that was in 2007.
Yeah.
So we're going back to Prince of Persia territory. Yeah. It was a year before then. So I was I can't think what films they were working on, Bedtime Stories, you know, we're going back quite far now.
Yeah.
And they were in this office still where there was quite a few floors, and it was really exciting to be a runner. I was the only female runner.
Right.
They hadn't had a girl for a while. I know it sounds terrible to say that, but they, I absolutely suddenly was working. It was a small team of us, mm-hmm. and I just thought, this is amazing. It wasn't even about not earning much. I just, you can walk around on all the floors. You had my little trolley, you know, collecting people's mugs and talking to people. And I just couldn't believe how friendly everyone was and willing to chat to me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I did some strange running jobs up Oxford Circus, you know, to get strange things and
food
running. Because back then, you know, you had to deliver all the tapes and, And then staying late at night, obviously organising dinners for everybody and being on the reception. And then we obviously, like, you know, you start doing your training in your own time. And they say to you, well, you need to go to 2D or 3D and match move. You know, if you want to be 3D, it's the natural progression. And I thought, what's this match move? As everyone probably says. Went round and I knew one of the girls on the team at the time because I'd studied with her years before. And I remember her showing me one of her shots and it had all the lovely red cones. And she said, look at my shot. And I was like, great. I have no idea what I'm doing. But it looks great. Yeah. And I thought, is this, you know, so then I kept on working, carried on. You have to be patient, wait your time. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to think what the first film was. It wasn't Prince of Persia. Hang on, I've got my IMDb open.
Yeah.
Clash of Titans, that was it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was the head of, one of the head of production at the time. I remember her finding me in the toilets and she just said, oh, we're moving all the runners up. And I was like, really? What, now straight away? And then all of a sudden I was in the team, and I did obviously 3 weeks of convent just to settle us in so that we could practice, and then from there it was away, and obviously you learn on the job, and the team was amazing back then, big team, and I very much enjoyed being young and being which is why it's so hard for people now. I really do feel for people coming into the industry now, because you know, I would take back anything from those days, and you know, I constantly asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have got through it, I don't think, if everyone wasn't so helpful.
Of course,
my trusty notebooks, I became very well known for having lots of notebooks and writing everything down, being very organised, highlighting. So I think you'll have to tell me if I've missed anything out, but I think that brings me up to how I got to where I am, or where I started, how I got into Match Move.
So I mean, I was going to ask you why you chose to settle into the Match Move department. So it'd be interesting to know what.
Why I stayed in Match Move this long.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the simple answer. I think I initially would have obviously pursued animation.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, I was never that keen on computer animation.
Right. Yeah.
Because when you've come from traditional animation, you're so used to the freedom of drawing it all down. I thought, I don't mind playing around with the rigs. I quite enjoy it, but I just found it incredibly frustrating. I would have needed to have done another course, which I was willing to do and possibly still am willing to do in the future. But I just, as you know, it never gets boring, because depending on what film you're working on, it's always different. I mean, even in all these years, I still come across things, new things, and my time has gone on, because obviously I've been working doing it for so long. I've been through the stereo generation, doing stereo, and it was and that was such a big thing back then, and all the films we worked on, you know, it was like double the work, and it was exciting, because there was I mean, I don't know if you want me to mention a couple of let's have a look. So I worked on so one of the big things that I remember, I'll state this is going still at Cinesite. So I was at Cinesite for quite a few years, after about 4 years actually, which is quite a long time after I was a runner. Yeah. And we worked on, as a lot, everyone seems to say, if they've worked on Harry Potter, if they were around, you know, in the industry doing whatever at that time, it's just, and I know it sounds, it's a cliche to say as well, the same as everyone else, but even after all these years, I look back on my time, and I worked on the last two Harry Potter films, and although I was a junior, it was just so well set up, and it was so much fun to work on. Yes, I look back on those days, and those were good days.
Yeah.
And then we worked on, I don't know if you've ever seen a film called Marmaduke.
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've seen it.
So back in those days, yeah, around the time of Harry Potter, there was a lot of talking dog head,
right,
films.
Okay, yeah, okay.
A lot. And they came out one after the other. And I worked on a few, but this is one of the main ones.
Mm.
And so I remember it, I think, well, because there was a lot of work to do. And to the point where we had to do lots of late nights, lots of weekends.
Right.
And we were just basically animating the mouths of dogs. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of head tracking. So
yeah,
that got me into, I think initially, more the Rotomation.
Mm-hmm.
Because although on Clash of the Titans on and a few other things before then, there's a few little bits here and there,
mm-hmm,
it was not anything compared to this.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I've got an eye for this. You know, I quite like, you know, it's Rotomation, it's not animation,
yeah,
but it's,
mm-hmm,
very similar.
Yeah.
And so it soon became known, I guess, that
yeah,
was my strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, and still the same today. I seem to be given all the most complicated Rotomation shots. And although it can be frustrating, as like you said, it can be really frustrating,
yeah,
and take a long time, it's so
yeah,
rewarding.
Mm.
And I hope my skills have got a lot better as the years have gone on.
Yeah,
because it's just poles apart. I mean, that's probably why I've stayed in MatchMove, because although you've got the technical side of all the cameras and which is interesting,
mm-hmm,
you've got this Rotomation source. It's almost like having two jobs.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably, apart from the having children,
yeah,
and it's suiting my lifestyle,
yeah,
that's why I've stayed. Because I've gone to, without mentioning other company names, I've gone to, well, maybe I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can mention, because they technically don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So
no.
I was at, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention it, in the days of when we all got made redundant. Have you discussed this before on another?
I'm sure I've had people that have been up, but I think the topic didn't dive
okay,
deep into it.
Well, it was a very interesting time to be in visual effects and in MatchMove,
yeah,
because
yeah,
took us on literally as they were starting.
Right.
It was a brand new company. We were the first team going in, and they had, the first film they had was Judge Dredd. Have you seen Judge Dredd?
Mm-hmm.
The one from, it's become a bit of a cult film now.
Right.
And they had the whole film, which
right,
is unusual, because normally you have sequences,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal to them, and we all got really close. And I was there for quite a lot of years, actually, for four
right,
years again. And it got to the point where, actually, if you said to me, what's your one thing you wish you had done as a MatchMove artist before
yeah,
having children, it's a bit too difficult now, is I wish I'd gone on set more. Because
okay,
there was the opportunity back then. And
yeah,
and but what I did do, which was a really good experience, was coming towards the end of working at, we didn't realise, but they also had a company out in India.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing all the Bollywood films, and we obviously were doing the Hollywood films, and
mm-hmm,
we were, and the company was getting more and more Hollywood films. And so we were, as a MatchMove department, all of us, we were asked, well, will you go to India to train the MatchMove artists out there?
Yeah.
And I was quite scared, because, I mean, touching on the whole woman in the visual effects industry,
yeah,
mother in the visual effects industry, imagine being a woman
yeah,
going to India
mm-hmm,
and trying to get this big team of people who don't know you to listen
yeah,
to you, to take you seriously,
yeah,
and that helped me grow a lot, actually, because I thought, if I can get on a plane to India
mm-hmm,
and I can go you know, to a company,
yeah,
and help to train these strangers, then I can do anything.
Yeah.
And so that, and I went about 3 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then obviously, then it was a bit controversial, but we didn't realise, it was kind of obvious when you think about it, that we were training them to replace us.
Right. Oh no. Right.
And then we were made redundant, and then.
Oh no.
Then. Basically merged with.
Oh no, that's horrible. I didn't realize.
Yes,
that's quite painful too.
That was that was a really strange time, and that was again maybe not the platform to talk about unions and stuff like
not
that
at all. No, but, we can definitely
I'm not part of a union now, but we all were advised to join a union because we didn't think we were going to get redundancy money, because obviously it's very, that's the one thing that I've always found difficult over the years being a visual effects, is especially being a parent, is not having a permanent contract and working in contracts and not having the stability. And I've always been lucky, and I've always worked actually. But it's just that thing in the back of your head. Well, I'm chasing my next contract, you know, and I want that stability.
Yeah.
And so luckily I'd been at the company for more than 2 years, but they didn't tell us you have rights if you've been at the company for more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get made redundant, it's not a lot of money, but that's not the point. So we joined the union, and basically we won, and we all got a very fair redundancy package. And I felt that was quite a win for visual effects, because it was at the time where, you know, Life of Pi was coming out, loads of visual effects artists weren't getting paid, so it felt like that was a real crunch time for you know, we gotta we're not being looked after, and we need to. It just strangely doesn't feel like that way now. It's just things have changed so much since the pandemic, but funny times though.
Yeah, it feels just like yesterday, because I feel like Life of Pi just came out like just not long ago.
I know, it's crazy. I think that's part of getting older. Years fly by.
Yeah, and I remember how it was quite groundbreaking in terms of like the visual effects. So it's
amazing. And I read the book as well before, and I thought, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way. And they did such an amazing job. Actually, that's a good one. That is.
Yeah. Can I ask you when this transition to happened? So you were at CineSight, and then I guess, is this because of contracts ending?
Yes, just naturally.
All right.
And it was really strange at the time, because I was about to get married. So and I just sort of got really comfortable at CineSight. I've been there since being a runner, been there many years. But actually, it was a good thing in the end, because it made me realise that it's their own personal, you know, thing. But I think it can be very positive to move from company to company. And I think actually every time I've moved, it's been really positive, because you get to meet more people, you get to broaden your skills, you get to challenge yourself, and it's not, you know, it's a good thing. So we all had to leave. It wasn't in the end, I think most of us went anyway, so I was just very lucky that there was quite a few of us going at the same time, and then this opportunity rose, and quite a few of us from CineSight all went together.
Okay.
And like I say, and then it was very strange, because I was there for 4 years and only left there because of the redundancy. And then amazingly, CineSight took me back. So my love affair with CineSight, as you'll hear as we delve into parenthood, continued for many, many years.
Let's do that actually. How are you coping with motherhood? And
coping. I'm coping. No, it's been a journey. It was very different having your first child, because actually, funny enough, I'll just touch on it quickly, just because I don't know if this will be helpful, because I don't want to put anyone off who's, you know, in visual effects and wants a child, because absolutely not. It's been a challenge. But it's worked for me. It's getting better. It's getting easier. I think anything changes as the years go by. So I obviously got pregnant with my first child, and I realised very early on it wasn't going to be straightforward, because the company I was, funny enough, I wasn't at CineSight. I was at another company. I won't name them. It wasn't their fault. It was just I got to 6 months pregnant. The project that I was on came to an end, and they, you know, as you know, that's just the natural way of things. You know, it's not personal. you move on. And I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, it's like I knew that I would only get statutory maternity pay. That's what a lot of people cope with. And I'd obviously had a little bit of savings, thankfully. Yeah. But what I hadn't really factored in is that I'd have to organise my own statutory maternity. Right. I had to contact the government. I had to fill out all the millions and millions and millions of forms. But I'm pleased I did, because obviously it's doable. It's not that it's not doable. But then I left, obviously, to have my first child. And then you just, as you know, when your first child, you know, you get all your attention goes on that first child. And luckily, this is way before lockdown, so all the baby groups, you know, forgot about visual effects for a while, but always knew I'd want to go back. There was never a question of it. It was just a case of, I'm going to have my maternity, I'm going to join my time. And then very lucky, Cinesite took me back after maternity because of some... I won't mention names, but people who I've known for a long, long time have really helped me, basically, just give me the confidence to say, you know, come back. That's why it's so important to have friends in the industry, because they know your worth, they know, you know, what you're good at. And I think that my confidence obviously dropped a little bit. I'll never forget the first day going back to work after having my daughter, because I think actually she was only 9 months old, I think. My work colleague actually convinced me to come back probably a couple of months before I was really ready. But I thought, no, you know, I've got the contract. I can't say no. I need the work. You know, your maternity money runs out. I had a mortgage. It's different, you know. When you've got a mortgage, you have to pay the bills. And I remember just, I don't know if I can mention it really. This is motherhood. I was breastfeeding. Yeah. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I had to take a breast pump.
I understand, because my wife has to do that, because like I said, my son is like 11 months and she's back at work, and she's had to take a breast pump with her.
I had to say to them in the office, have you got a locker that I can have? And I had to go to the... Luckily, I didn't have to do it for too long, only a couple of weeks. And I had... obviously, I had to go to the toilet. Because otherwise, without going into too much detail, it's very uncomfortable for a woman. I couldn't get on that train home fast enough, you know. And I was lucky with my daughter that... I mean, she wasn't the best sleeper, but she used to be up... I don't know what your children were like, but she was one of those children who sleep all right, but then sometimes be up partying in the night for 2 hours. For no reason at all. And the amount of times when I'd just be sleeping, I'd just get a pillow and be sleeping on her floor, so at least she would stay in her bed because I was there. And then I would get up early for work the next day thinking, I'm mad. Like, I'm going into work now, and my colleagues have no idea I've had, like, hours of sleep. I think, but because it's your first child, and I was a bit younger then, you just have a bit more energy. And it's exciting, and I think that although motherhood is great, you need adult conversation. So I was more than happy to put up with all of that tiredness, because it was once I got out of the house and sort of away from my daughter, because you need that time to be your own person. I needed that, because then I could then go into the office and be me again for the whole day. And I was very lucky that they took me back 3 days a week, and I've been doing that ever since. That's never changed. But back then it was in the office, so I was doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday every week without fail. Always made it in. Managed much easier to get childcare when you've only got one child. Let's mention that. I don't know if you find the same thing, but you know, grandparents are much more happy to step in when you've only got one child.
I'm quite lucky with that. I've got my mum-in-law helps with the kids.
You totally rely on it. I couldn't have done it if I had a childminder one day, but it just is costly. It's so costly, and you don't you don't get 3 hours until they're three. That's a long time. So I had a lot of help, grandparents and everything, and actually no issues. I don't remember having any issues. I carried on as normal, really enjoyed myself. And then I think I was nervous to begin with, and then as soon as you do that first shot again, I thought, oh, I've not done anything for a year, and it feels like, oh, am I going to remember it all? I'm going to forget it all. It just comes. It's like riding a bike. It just comes back again. So I realised, oh, this is fine. I'm going to be fine. And then actually I left Cinesite, and funnily enough, wasn't planning on having number two quite so quickly.
Yeah.
And went back, funnily enough, to the company I was at when I got pregnant with my daughter.
Okay, yeah.
Went back there again.
Yeah.
And then had to tell them some months later, oh, I'm really sorry, but I'm pregnant again.
Yeah.
And they must have thought, this is a stitch up. They were really good. They were really supportive.
Yeah.
And then I had my second child.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brilliant, actually, because I was, funny enough, I was, keep mentioning Cinesite, I went back to Cinesite for the end of the pregnancy. So it happened to me again. Okay. I was at this other company, got to 6 months pregnant, my contract ended, and I thought, I can't believe this has happened twice.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then Cinesite, amazing, they stepped in, and I said, but I can only work a couple more months, you know, I'm getting big. They said, that's fine, because we know you, we trust you, we know, you know, you're good at what you do. And this is what I've come to love about the visual effects industry, is that, you know, I probably haven't had, I don't know if it just me, if it's a bad thing, but I haven't had a proper interview for years, because the longer you've been doing it, everyone knows who you are. And obviously it's good to have a LinkedIn, it's good to have your showreel, it's good to have a list of everything you've done, but somebody tends to know you, somebody will have an informal chat with you, and they, you know, they know that you know what you're doing. And so as time's gone on and I've had children, I've probably been able to cope because I'm a senior now, so I know what I'm doing. And that's another reason why I've stayed within Matchmove, because I think it's so exhausting, as you know, being a parent, especially of two children, because you want that home work life balance, and you want to enjoy your children whilst they're still young, because they grow up so quickly. But I just wouldn't have had the brain capacity to learn suddenly something new. So I needed the comfort blanket. It didn't matter how hard the show was, how hard my shots were, I had the comfort of knowing what I was doing and knowing my work colleagues, and that's why I was able to, and still to this day, cope with it. But then, I mean, the next discussion will be, I don't know if you've got any other questions to ask me, after having baby number two, everything changed.
Alright.
Well, because of lockdown.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, of course, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, tell me about it, but I was going to ask you in that same line of discussion, because I think you're currently outside of London now.
Yes.
So I was just very curious about how that would have happened.
Not living in London?
I mean, without COVID happening and for the studios accepting being normalized to work from home, how you would have coped if you had to go into the office and work in the office every day. But
well, I was very lucky, actually, because I didn't feel like it at the time. It was a nightmare. So basically I was on my maternity leave with my second child, my son, and everything is going fine. I mean, it's not quite as baby groups and coffees out with your friends on number two as it is on number one, because you've got a toddler to deal with, so you're even more tired. But it was fine. And then I thought, actually, funny enough, I had no intention of coming back into visual effects, and I thought about it for a long time, and I thought, I don't know how I can do it. I don't know how I can physically juggle the childcare, and this is even working 3 days a week, even before the pandemic happened. And I actually applied for a job in a school, because I thought, well, I've worked in schools in the past. I used to teach stop motion animation years and years and years ago, just a little extra thing. And I thought, well, if I get a job in a school in the art department, that's still creative. I don't mind. It's not long term, you know. It gets me back into work, because I'm not the sort of person, I love my children and I love being a mum, but I need work. I need to be myself as well. And I think, as probably anybody would say who's a parent, is that have your time out, having your children, but you can't have endless time out, especially if you want to be in visual effects, because things and the software move on so fast that a year is one thing. But I think it was such a huge monumental decision to make, because I thought, if I don't go back, that is probably it for me. Because if I then go into another career, it'll be too long and I won't be able to go back in again, because things will have moved on too much, and it's all credit to and thanks to, again, without naming names, my boss at the time, who I've known for many years and who has been at CineSite with me for many years, he said to me, "Well, I just assumed you were coming back, Becky." And I was like, "Oh, really? Really?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I've got, you know, you can have a year's contract and there's loads of work to do. I just assumed you were coming back." And I was like, "Oh, well, do you want me back?" So I thought, well, okay, brilliant. They want me back. That's all the green light I need. That's all the confidence I need. Mm-hmm. And so I managed to, luckily, my childminder took my son as well as my daughter. And I thought, well, again, I've got to grasp the grandparents. They weren't so keen this time, but they knew that I needed to go back. Yeah. And I was back in London for 3 weeks and then lockdown.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So actually, although it was horrible, I'm so grateful that I had those 3 weeks because it was enough time for me to get my headspace back into the working in the industry again, meeting my team, just realising I could do it. My confidence was obviously back again after having a year off. And then they said, no, that's it. And I thought, when they said we were going to work from home, I thought, no. There's no way. How are the TS departments going to organise? You know, all the confidentiality stuff that we've been told for years, they won't allow it. How can we possibly? My brain couldn't fathom it. And they said, "Oh, you know, just tell us anything you need: computer screens, mice, you know, graphics tablets. You're going to be working from home." Yeah. And my boss very kindly, I couldn't get back into the office. He took my, which I still have it now, two and a half years on, my Wacom and some of my bits and bobs from the office. He took it to his flat and I got my husband to drive all the way to London to get my bits.
Just to get them.
And what was so hard though back then was, and I hope it never happens again and I wouldn't wish this on anyone, and I know loads of people had the same as me, is I suddenly found myself not only having to work from home, but also I've got two children under the age of 4 and they're not in childcare. What am I supposed to do? And I thought, well, it's fine, my husband will be at home and all the whole country, you know, he'll be at home, he'll help me with childcare. He's a landscape gardener, he works outdoors, he didn't get affected once in the pandemic. He carried on as normal. It was very, very, I wouldn't say dark times, because the novelty was still there for being back in the industry and being in touch with everybody. And I was in a different house then, a smaller house, and I had my computer set up on our dining room table because there was nowhere else to put it. And I used to have to, the only times I could work was, I had no childcare, was when my son was sleeping 2 hours a day. And I used to, luckily my daughter would watch films because not all children do. And then at night, I used to be up sometimes to 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I had to work out how many hours I had done the day, I'd have to work Sunday evenings, I'd have to work Friday nights, but I knew that by the end of the week I'd done my 24 hours, I'd done my 3 days, and again my company, and they still are to this day, which is hence why I'm the random woman that logs on for an hour here and there. They said to me, We trust you. We know you're getting your work done. We don't care when you come in, what time of day you come in, as long as you get the work done, as long as you're happy, then work when you want.
Right. Oh, wow.
I just went on for longer than I thought it would.
No, I mean that's like a great trust and. What do you call it? Really, I mean, like you said, the relationship between you and CineSite has been built from the early beginnings, and it's great that you have the people that know you and then trust you, and they feel at ease to just leave stuff
just
with you.
Leave
and
me
know
to
that.
It.
Yeah.
But then, had I been a junior, it would have been a different story.
Of course.
So
obviously, true.
I'm really grateful that I. Was able to just, they knew that they could just leave me to it, and you know, and actually it made me grow in confidence, because all of a sudden, I mean, I was always the sort of person who was the first to go ask questions, and I would say to anyone who wants to be in the industry, like, never be afraid to ask questions, take notes, take millions of notes, And I enjoyed that, speaking to my colleagues and asking questions. And all of a sudden, although you could still ask questions, as you know, it's all remote.
Yeah.
Or Zoom, and it's not quite the same, and mm-hmm. and you know, it's not instant necessarily, and everyone's doing their best and everyone's doing an amazing job, and they still are.
Yeah.
But it sort of made me have to grow up a little bit, because it meant that I had to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
More so than I'd ever done before. Mm-hmm. And I realized actually I know more than I gave myself mm-hmm. credit for.
Yeah.
And I sort of, yes, it's been a bizarre couple of years, because mm-hmm. I've just been basically getting on with it. So I think the only thing that makes me sad is like with yeah. with you, obviously we briefly yeah, worked
yeah.
together,
yeah.
never
yeah.
met.
Yeah.
Barely spoke, yeah. apart from a few yeah. like everyone used to say good morning on the
yeah.
the chat,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
maybe a few words here and there, and
yeah.
Because I didn't work a Friday, I was never involved in the chats, mm. you know, at the end
yeah.
of the week. So I always felt, and I remember saying to my boss at the time, you know, are you sure you're okay with mm-hmm. me, because I feel like I'm a ghost in the machine. I feel like
yeah.
who is this part-time
yeah.
working mother who just, you know, is part of the team but it's never mm. there. I thought, will people know who I am? Will people, will I be as much of an integral part of the team? And I think for team morale
mm-hmm.
Over the years, it's so important. And when you've got a good team, it just makes, especially if it's a stressful show,
mm-hmm.
it makes everything better,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
if it's a good team. And I suddenly thought, well, I'm pretty much on my own, and I didn't
mm-hmm.
like it for quite some time. I really
okay,
struggled
yeah.
with it, and
mm-hmm.
I've had lots of lows. Obviously was really grateful that I had my job, because I needed it, because I,
mm-hmm.
you know, needed the money.
Yeah.
But yeah, when lockdown went on for longer than I anticipated, and I grew to feel very separate from the team. But
right.
now...
Mm-hmm.
Now I can appreciate, it's funny, now that we've got the option of going back into the
mm-hmm.
office, although I don't need to go back in that often, it's good that the door
yes.
is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually, funnily enough, now choosing more to work from home than I ever thought
yeah.
I would,
I,
because I'm realising, actually as a parent,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how working parents did it before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, all credit to them.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the school runs and then going into the office. I remember thinking for years, people, certain companies I worked at, there was lots of people with families.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, it sounds awful saying it, but it's mainly dads.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I would know that although it's difficult for them, their wives were at home looking after the children. I thought, I just feel so different here. I don't know any other mothers who are working but also doing all the childcare and the drop-offs.
Yeah.
So I felt very, yes, I still haven't really met many others
yeah,
that
sure, yeah.
do the same as me.
Yeah.
And people would moan and they would say, oh God, the such and such has picked up a cold from nursery, or I've got to be late because, you know, my
yeah.
child's ill. I remember rolling my
yeah.
eyes and thinking, oh, you know, get on with your work.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I don't think it's until you're actually a parent
yeah,
that you realise, my goodness,
yeah.
how have all these people been doing it?
Yeah.
To get your game face on and to
yeah.
work when you're
yeah.
tired and you've had a sleepless night, it's mm-hmm. just, again,
yeah.
I don't want
yeah.
to paint a negative picture because I wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm.
And it is such a short space of time when your children are so young, and I'm really pleased I've done it.
Yeah.
And I'll look back, I hope, in the future at this part of my career
yeah.
and think, well, that was just that part of my career.
Yeah.
And I got through it
yeah,
and
course.
I still maintained some great relationships.
Yeah.
But now it's more my time, I'm
yeah.
hoping. I'm
yeah.
hoping.
Yeah.
When they're teenagers and they don't want to
yeah.
know me anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because usually our colleagues in the industry don't tend to understand for parents, if I've just realized really recently, if your child gets sick, you have no choice, you're also
no.
going to get sick because
never
yeah.
had so many illnesses.
Yes. Yeah,
so, another good reason for working from home though, because
yeah.
back you know, if you got ill and you were in the office and you were, you know, even if just really bad cold or something, and you're coughing in the studio, I
yeah.
remember having a cough and having to go into work and they think I'm annoying everyone because I'm just coughing
yeah.
And then now at least if I feel a bit under the weather, I can still
yeah.
do my full day's
exactly,
work
yeah.
because I'm
yeah.
sitting down, you know,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
lucky lucky that we've got a job where we're just sitting at our computer.
Yeah.
And I probably had no sick days.
Yeah.
Because then actually, if there's been a day where I thought, well, I'm feeling a bit sick today, because mm-hmm. I mean, children and stomach bugs, that's the worst. Mm-hmm. I don't even necessarily need to tell my boss because I can just think, well, I've been in bed this morning, but actually doesn't matter because I'll catch up on those hours and they never need to know. So I'm always doing my hours. So that's a good side of working from home as well, I guess. Don't have to spread your germs around the office quite
soon. Do you feel the current schedule makes an important difference in allowing you to be a mum and an artist at the same time?
Oh, 100%.
I
mean, obviously, I say I don't think I could do it. I would have been able to do it because I had no choice, and we wouldn't have known any different. But I think that, yes, if there's anything to come good of the pandemic, it's the flexible within visual effects. I never thought I'd see the day. And I guess I was already lucky that I was already working part-time, which seemed to be, you know, I came across a few people that I worked with, and they said, you only work 3 days, how have you worked that? And I just thought, well, because I asked, and you either get the job or you don't get the job. It's as simple as that. And I remember my boss saying to me at the time, I used to say, are you sure 3 days is okay? Because it feels like, because I used to work Monday to Wednesday, it felt like a long time not being in on a Thursday and a Friday if anyone needed me or if I was doing something to then wait till Monday. And he would say, but yes, it's fine with me because you know what you're doing and because you're a senior, I know that you're still getting a lot of work done. So I was still, in some roundabout way, valuable. I was still, you've got to see yourself is a valuable part of the team. And I think sometimes that's quite hard for a working mother. I think you can sometimes lose your feeling a little bit of value because you think, am I an integral part of the team? Because my headspace is all over the place sometimes and I'm tired or... And you realise that millions of women do this. Millions of women have children. If we didn't have children, there'd be no future scientists or so. It's my personal thing that I went to university. I worked really hard. I wanted to be in visual effects. Just because I've chosen to have children shouldn't mean that suddenly my career is over. And I've always felt very strongly about that. And I've been very lucky, actually, because I've got... when I grew up, my mum was the breadwinner. And so she's always given me those values that that you need to work hard. And if you want to do well and you want to earn well and you want to be... And it's not even about earning. It was never about earning well for me. It was about finding a job because you're going to do it for many, many years that that you enjoy, that excites you, that challenges you. And I never... Until I worked in visual effects, I thought, I've never come across so many like-minded people. It's almost like coming home, and that's why I missed it, and that's why I'm really pleased to be back in it, because you don't realise it's so nice to just work with people who are very similar to you and have the same interests as you, and especially as a mother, being a bit of a geek and being into films, and sometimes people think, who is this mad mother who's like loves talking about films and animation, and either people are really fascinated and they think, you do what? You work in films? And it makes me feel really proud. And you know, going back to the credits thing again from years ago, I never thought that, you know, how many years has it been? I started in 2007, or I guess 2008 by the time I actually went into Matchmove. I've been doing it non-stop, apart from 2 years out, obviously, to have two children. I've been doing it non-stop, and I've never actually counted how many films and series I've worked on. Because it almost doesn't matter anymore. But just... Even now, even after all these years, I'm still so proud to get my name in the credits. I don't know why it's such a big thing, and I don't know if it's the same for you, and I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but it seems such a small thing, but it's just so exciting. And it's a legacy. I'll be able to show. And also, again, being a mother, my children, I'm sure, will think I'm very uncool, but at least I can show them, and I can say, look, your mother worked on this film, and there's my name.
Exactly,
it's very definitely. I think it's cool.
I mean, that just the whole mother, like, deciding to have children, I mean, working mothers, like working women, deciding to or planning to have children or to continue working is such a big deal, because I mean a lot of my friends or like people of my age lately are choosing to are having kids like later on in their lives, and and yeah, it's tricky because like people are, I mean there's many factors.
You mean being older and more tired?
I mean first of all it's like the priority, it's like choosing to either prioritize having a child or just focusing on making a career for yourself.
Yes, it's very hard to have both. I and there's a constant battle. I'm sure all parents, whether you're a man or a woman, you get the, I call it the mum guilt. And you think, oh, I need to be a better parent, I need to do this and that. And but you know, it's good for them, I think, to grow up seeing that you're having to work. You know, I often say to my daughter, well, I mean, I wouldn't be able to buy you this toy, or I wouldn't be we wouldn't be able to live in this house if I wasn't working, because it you know, back way back when, it might have been that one parent could work and the other parent not necessarily didn't work, but maybe didn't work until your children went to school. But it's just not like that anymore. The current climate, obviously, as you know, all the prices are going up. The cost of living is so expensive that you just don't have that option. You need to work. Hopefully you can't hear my cat too. Although I didn't think I would have children coming in screaming, I now have a cat coming in meowing, which is what normally happens. Normally when I'm on a Zoom call to someone in production or my boss, and he said to me the other day, is your cat sitting on your windowsill? Yeah, it's quite normal. That's another nice thing about working from home. The cat gets to see me more than he knew than he used to.
Quick question. Just to get your opinion, do you think there's more pressure on women deciding to have, I mean, say for, because there's a big difference between choosing to planning to have a child and having a child unexpectedly, which is much more daunting.
It wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
Number two might have been an accident, but number one wasn't.
But do you think planning it makes you, prepares you more in terms of like,
because I knew that it was going to be hard. I knew that I'd chosen to be in visual effects. I knew that I wouldn't necessarily get good maternity pay. And it helped me actually that a friend of mine on the Match Move team actually got pregnant a few years before me. And that helped me greatly, actually, because I got to see her coming into work pregnant. I got to see her having weird food cravings and almost looking after her a little bit. And then she obviously went on maternity leave. And then because of her, she went back to work 3 days a week. And so I remember having a conversation with her when I was heavily pregnant and talking about it all. And she said, well, it's working for me. And it almost, just that, all it took was one person who was close to me who'd been through it, and I thought, yes, I mean, if she can do it, then I can do it. And I was just very lucky that that Cinesite agreed and that that they would have me. So yeah, although it was planned, it definitely a lot to consider. Obviously, if it had happened by accident, you like anybody, you would cope. We're adults now. I've been, you know, paying a mortgage for a while. You know how to be responsible with money, hopefully. But it is a shock, obviously, as you know, having your first child, because all of a sudden, they cost a lot of money. My goodness, the things I was having to buy, the nursery furniture, and when and your first child as well. I mean. You buy everything new. Everything's got to be new. All the bouncers, all the pram. You know, it's got to be new. And then by the time I had my son, it was like, second hand. Who can give me free stuff? Save as much as I can.
What are you lacking, or what are you wishing could be improved or implemented for you and other women in the industry, if there's any?
Well, I think, I mean, the only thing, but again, this is, I've been working in visual effects long enough that I know that the contracts, that's just the way it is. And so the only thing I would wish, and I still hope it will come true, I've been chasing it for years, is that elusive permanent contract. And I think I could, I like to think that one day I'll get it, because I would still move around from company to company. I've enjoyed those days of doing that. Yeah. But right now, having a second child, I feel for me that what works is sticking to the one company, and to have that stability, so that I can concentrate on, you know, the childcare and the school runs. And because it's like having to run a tight ship, isn't it? Like, things can fall apart very, very quickly if one of them's ill or something happens. And and I think, you know, and although you might think, well, she only works 3 days a week, it's amazing actually how some weeks it's really hard actually to make those 24 hours.
Yeah.
And sometimes even now, like this week, I had to actually do a couple of late nights. And I think I've come to peace with that, and I don't know if that would work for everybody, but I got so used to doing it in lockdown that actually it suits me. I'm a bit of a night owl, and I often think, goodness, if you were coming to the end of a shot and it was, say, Wednesday, and you just needed to render it, or you just need to publish it, or do a few little fixes, I'd have to wait till Monday and say, oh, I'm ever so sorry, you know, you'll have to wait. Whereas now, I absolutely don't mind at all logging on for an hour.
And
just, you know, checking the render farm, or just quickly quickly doing something, because then it almost works for me, because then I can relax a bit more on the weekend, or I can think, and actually something else that I do, again, you don't have to, is that, as you know, you communicate with your team on the messenger. And so I think that I'm always make myself available, so I always check it, even on my day, and I don't actually have days off, as you know. Because actually, even in the summer holidays, as to talking about juggling, I only actually have 2 days of childcare for the whole of the summer holidays. So I'm back to juggling, you know, getting the grandparents over for half a day, doing an hour here and there, working a few late nights. But I don't mind, because it's only for the summer holidays. And then obviously my daughter will go back to school in September and it'll be back to normal again. So I just think, again, the flexible working and working from home is just so amazing, because it means that I'm able to do, I feel, my job to the top. I'm not, I don't feel I'm ever apologising and saying, oh, you know, I can't quite get this done. I feel like, no, I'm an integral member of the team. I can do everything to a high quality, high standard as I've ever done before, because I'm willing. Yes, it's hard sometimes to go, I'll do all the weekend works. I'm not quite so, you know, I'll do some, because obviously, you know, as a member of the team, you can't let your team down. You need to make sure that you're helping everybody, because it wouldn't be fair if I just went, well, I'm a parent, so I'm never going to work the weekends. I'll say, look, I can squeeze in half a day. And I did it last weekend, actually. And I don't mind doing that, because I just think I wouldn't like it if there was a member of the team who I felt was not pulling their weight. Because when you get a film done, it's not just you, it's everybody. And actually, the one thing I've enjoyed about going back into the office every so often is that I was really missing not just talking to face-to-face members of my team, but is helping people. Because I suddenly thought, my goodness, I have got loads of tricks up my sleeve. You know, I do enjoy Rotomation. I do hopefully think I'm quite good at it, so I've been told. And so if I can go in and speak to a few of the juniors and show them a few things, and probably bore them by telling them too much stuff, it's good, and I hope that they appreciate it. I don't know if they do. And I think it's important for your confidence to be able to do that. So hopefully I can go in, if these train strikes stop, I might be able to go in a bit more. But I think, I don't know if you're working from home permanently. You are you?
Well, for the past almost 3 years. Since literally since... Because I remember I was working at Blue Bolt, and my contract was a week. My contract was ending a week after, like, the UK started locking down, and I had to. My wife was pregnant at the time, and she was like, "Can you just end your contract a week early, because it's not safe for you to go in and I'm pregnant?"
So
I had to end my contract a week earlier. And then I've been working from home since then, and I prefer it, actually, because I was saying that I do the school runs on my lunchtime and then do the pickups because my wife has got the other child, and if I had to be commuting, it'd be quite difficult for my wife to just do that. So I prefer working from home now.
You must find it hard though, because do you work 5 days a week?
I work 5 days a week.
See, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm quite lucky in the sense that my first child, he knows when I'm working, so he doesn't disturb me, and my wife takes care of him. And if my wife is working, then his grandma takes care of him, so I don't get disturbed as much. So I
was going to say, do you get disturbed? Because that's happened to me quite a few times. Often when I'm logging on, saying I'm logging on for an hour, what people don't realise is that I've been to soft play in the morning, I've tired him out on purpose, and he's sleeping on the bed behind me, and I'm doing my work. Parenting and working for you.
Yeah.
I don't. You've got to laugh about it. If you don't laugh about it, I mean, hopefully it won't carry on like that. Well, it won't carry on like that forever, because they grow up and they he'll be at school before I know it, and I'll miss the days of him being home with me. And things change.
Yeah.
So you have to enjoy them whilst they're
Putting
chocolate sprinkles on the bed like they were this morning when I wasn't aware of it. Getting up to mischief.
They grow so fast. Because I remember when Nicholas, the first time I worked for Trickster, I had to go to Germany pre-pandemic. And at the time, he started crawling whilst I was away. I was missing that, and then Trickster was we'd like to extend you, would you like to stay? I had to say no, because
it is hard, and it is weird turning things down, because there's been a few times when over the years Trickster has been in contact with me, and I thought, I know a few people that have been there, work on big films, but I just had to say every single time, I'm so pleased, and thank you so much for getting in contact with me, but I've got children, I can't leave the country. I think it makes you realise there's such a vast difference between young people coming into the industry, and I was one of those young people once, I look back on those days and they were amazing, but I think we get older and quicker than we would like, and things change, and then you become a parent and you suddenly realise, I totally understand what all the struggles that everyone else has been going through. Now I'm in it, I can't believe I'm in it, but I've got to carry on. I can't go to the pub for a drink with everyone on a Friday like I used to, and I miss that.
Yeah, same here.
But I made sure I got that. So that's my advice to anyone who's young, who hasn't had children yet.
Yeah.
Get those drinks in on a Friday night in Soho whilst you can, and enjoy it. Because although you can still drink, and you will still drink a lot when you've got children, it's not quite so social.
Yeah. Also, it's a bit of a shame, because a lot of the studios are moving out of Soho, so the vibe is a bit different
We can look back with fond memories.
What
things change. Everything changes.
Definitely. Just a quick one. Just what advice would you give to any artists looking to start? I mean, you just mentioned it, but what advice would you?
Yes.
Give to any artist looking to start a family. Get the drinks in.
Get all those notebooks written up. Get all those questions ready. You need to have self-confidence and know what you're doing, because children take a lot of your energy up. And it's suddenly, you've never known anything like it before, sleep deprivation and working, and your body just gets used to it, you just do. If I'd have told my past self this is how it would be, I would have laughed in my face. I almost sort of think, I didn't appreciate how easy I had it. I could just leave the house, I could just get up for work, have a shower and just get the train. It was so easy. Why didn't I realise how easy life was? but I wouldn't change it. So I don't want to put a negative spin on it, because there's so many wonderful things, and they make me laugh all the time, and they're funny and naughty, and I just really appreciate and I'm so pleased that I stayed in the industry and that I didn't decide to leave, because I would have really missed it more than I think I would.
Because
having parents, having children could be like a job. It is essentially a job. As I said to you before, I worked very hard, and I studied and I went to university to do this kind of thing, and it would be a shame to lose that. So and once the children are a little bit older and they're more self-sufficient, my time will come again. So it's such a brief time in your life that it's totally worth it. It's totally worth those sleepless and late nights just to get through it each day. They say, even as a parent, you know, you just have to get through each day, because you have good days, you have bad days, and sometimes you get to the end of the week and you think, I've smashed it this week, I've done all my shots, I'm really happy with all my work. And then sometimes you think, oh my God, this is so hard, I'm so tired. But you always get through it, you just do. With the help of your supportive work colleagues, who I hope aren't fed up or sick to death of me. But I mean, hopefully, if they were, they would have got rid of me a long time ago. So I'll take comfort from that.
I think you should start doing like some sort of parental dailies, just giving them advice.
Yeah.
Just like feeding them some a lot of advice before they get started.
Pep talk. You could do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
Just have some wine at the end of the day.
My last question would be what should women look for when applying to join a studio?
A woman or a mother? Either.
Both, I guess.
Because this is a totally different podcast. If you want to talk about women in the industry, I could have in the days and going to India. That was, you know, before children. That was a whole wow. Yeah. You know, there's lots of women that work in visual effects. Lots of, you know, the balance is there. It is predominantly male, and that's nothing. That's just maybe just because more men want to do it. That doesn't mean anything. So I've never ever felt like I can't do it because I'm a woman. Never, not once. And I don't think you should ever feel that. You know, you're as good as you work hard to be. It's got nothing to do with gender. But I would definitely say when you're a mother, it does feel a little bit harder, just because it depends on your situation with your partner. I know many women who their partners work from home, and they're able to juggle the childcare with them, and they're able to, and that's fine. And maybe your journey won't be affected at all, and you can go back to visual effects full time. And you think, what was that woman going on about? It's not that hard. It was just because my journey is that I happen to have to do all the, like I said before, the drop offs. So you know, that is the only reason why I can only work part-time, and that's the reason why I'll be forever grateful that Cinesite have allowed me to do that, because they could quite have easily gone, no, sorry, you know, we only want you full-time, and that's it. And so, I'm really grateful, and everybody's different, and everybody has a different experience, so... Yeah. I wouldn't ever say don't do it because you think it'll be too hard, because even if it is a struggle, you can talk to your work colleagues and they'll help you, and they'll help you get through it. And I've always felt supported, and I've always felt that I could speak to my work colleagues and ask for help, and here I am, and I'm still going. Hopefully for a while yet.
I've got
no plans to stop.
Do you think starting in terms of like women go, because basically, I mean, you join an industry or any workplace before, or some people at least do before they have children.
Yeah.
Do you think there should be anything set in place in terms of in contracts, or as well as post?
To make sure you can come back after your maternity?
Just anything you would wish.
Yes, I think I don't know if that would change, though. I think that if I was permanently contracted, then yes. And actually, a friend of mine who's got a child who is permanently contracted, so I remember being jealous of her because she had her second child, and there was no question, she went back to work afterwards. because obviously her job was open, and right. so that wasn't very nice, you know, the wondering, mm-hmm. will they take me back?
Of course, yeah.
So it would be wonderful if there yeah. was, but I don't see, and I don't think it's visual effects or the industry's fault. I think that's just the nature of mm-hmm. you choose to do it. Sorry, I don't know mm-hmm. if you can hear that. Can you hear the cat that's meowing?
Yeah.
No. Oh God, he wants food.
Yeah.
And I've named my cat Loki, so that just goes to show you how much a geek that I am. So I just think. Yes, you know the nature of it before, mm. way before you decide to have children, if you've chosen to go into visual effects. I made peace with that a long time ago, so I knew that that was never going to be plain sailing, and I think mm-hmm. if you don't ask and if you don't go after it, you won't get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep.
So I've never been afraid to keep mm-hmm. in contact with all your colleagues, don't lose contact, mm-hmm. and just, yeah, network and just make sure you reach yeah. out to people, and if you've got the skills, if you're good at your job, yeah. there'll always be work. There seems to, like you said, there seems to be a lot of work around at the moment, mm-hmm. especially with automation. There'll be work for you.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's up to you whether yeah. you choose to yeah, accept.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure. I know I rambled quite a lot.
Yeah, it's fine. It's great. Thank you so much for telling us about your journey and yeah,
that's okay.
How everything's going.
I hope it's helpful. I feel like it was very slightly different to some of the other people's journeys.
Of course,
and I didn't want to paint a negative picture because it's mm-hmm. not negative, but I yeah. feel like it has been a rough journey, yeah. and that's mainly because of lockdown. But I'm here now. And I'm happy,
yeah.
and I'm, you know, doing my tough automation shots, and I'm still going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Watch this space.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah.